You're back in session at 1:17.
I move that we dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction.
Second.
And move in second. Is there any discussion? And then call the question.
The motion is to dismiss complaint 1921. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Complaint is dismissed.
All right. Let's move to item 4A2, case number 19-22, Melissa Hubbin, physical therapist assistant.
Again, Mr. Chair, members of the board, you may want to hear from the state.
So, why don't you go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter. The board at the prior board meeting directed the respondent to contact the compact administrator, TJ Cantwell, regarding a voluntary surrender of their compact privilege. In this case, the respondent did contact Mr. Cantwell, and the board has received a letter dated January 14th of 2020 permitting the respondent, in this case, Ms. Hubin, to voluntarily surrender her compact privilege. That has been done. So based on the procedural posture of this case, the state would respectfully request that the matter be dismissed.
I move to dismiss this case.
Second.
Okay. We move and seconded to dismiss. Any discussion?
Motion is to dismiss complaint 1922. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Is it? Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion to dismiss passes.
Okay. Item 4A3, case number 19-23. Oviedo?
Said it with more confidence, but I would have believed you.
Yeah, I was impressed. So does the state have any position on this?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter. The board at the prior board meeting directed the respondent to contact the compact administrator, Mr. TJ Cantwell, regarding the voluntary surrender of their compact privilege. In this case, the respondent did do that. On January 8th of 2020, the board received a letter indicating that the compact commission has accepted the voluntary surrender of the compact privilege by respondent. Based on the procedural posture of this case, the state respectfully requests that this matter be dismissed. Thank you.
I move to dismiss this case.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Case is dismissed.
All right. Let's move to item 4A6, case number 19-34, Carolina Montgomery, physical therapist. Again.
Okay, so, all right, we are going from 3 to 6. All right. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter. As stated in the previous cases, the board at the prior board meeting directed the respondent to contact the compact administrator, TJ Cantwell, regarding the voluntary surrender of their compact privilege. In this case, the respondent did so, and on January 10th, 2020, a letter was issued indicating that the voluntary surrender of the compact privilege had been accepted based on the procedural posture of this case involving Ms. Carolina Montgomery. The state would respectfully request that the matter be dismissed.
I move to dismiss.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The case is dismissed.
Okay. Case number 19-16, Carl Melnquist, physical therapist. This is, I want 19-41, Sharon McCallum, physical therapist. Case number 19-41, 4A4.
Yes, thank you. Mr. President, members of the board, Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter. In this case, the respondent obtained counsel, Mr. Jerry Warsham, attorney here in Arizona, and he contacted the Compact Commission, Mr. Cantwell, on behalf of his client, and obtained a voluntary surrender of his client's license in a letter dated January 20th, 2020. The board, Mr. Cantwell advised the board that compact privilege has been accepted, the voluntary surrender of it. So based on the procedural posture of this case, the state respectfully requests that the matter be dismissed. And Mr. Warsham had advised me that I could go ahead and present the matter on his behalf. And if the board had any questions of him, he would be available by phone. Thank you.
I move to dismiss.
Second.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The case is dismissed.
All right, the last one.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Can I just ask a question for the state? So is the state asking that it be dismissed or that they approve the consent agreement in order for the voluntary surrender?
I believe that there is not a consent agreement that has been entered into, and nor do I understand that was directed to by the board, and I believe it was Mr. Greer at prior board meetings, so it would be to accept just the voluntary surrender.
I apologize. I think I had the wrong case.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to?
We were on Carl Malmquist. I apologize.
All right.
Thank
okay.
you for that clarification.
All right. Thank you. You had me worried.
So now we're on 4A5, case number 19-16, Carl Melnquist, physical therapist.
I make a motion to go into executive session to seek legal advice.
You don't have to go on the panels.
Okay.
Second.
And moving second. Any discussion?
Wait. So, who second?
I did.
Thank you, Mike. So it's been moved in second to executive session. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
All right, we're in executive session at 1:26.
Karen?
Yes. We're back on the record at 1:30.
Okay. So we are at item 4A. Five. Case number 19-16, Carl Melnquist, physical therapist. This is the date and time where the matter dealing with this case is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy. We understand that there's a consent has been offered.
Yes, thank you. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter. In this case, a complaint notice of hearing was issued with 46 allegations of findings of facts and 9 conclusions of law. Prior to the hearing, Mr. Melnquist has agreed to voluntarily surrender his license through a consent order. Additionally, he has agreed that he shall not be eligible for relicensure for 5 years from the effective date of the order. The consent agreement in this case contains the identical findings of facts that were contained in the complaint notice of hearing. It also contains all of the 9 conclusions of law. If the board accepts this, this will end the matter. There will be no rights of appeal, and his license will be voluntarily surrendered, or he's giving it up, and it will be effective 5 days from it mailing, or in other words, it will be effective within a week once all the signatures are put on the document. The state believes that this is in the best interest of justice. It removes Mr. Monquest from the profession, from the occurrences that were occurring in Yuma, Arizona regarding the use of unlicensed physical therapists to provide physical therapy to a very vulnerable population, to migrant workers, to children, and to the elderly. This was going on for what appears to be a protracted period of time. And it removes him from the profession, and it provides the board with the assurance that he cannot reapply for 5 years. That same assurance would not be available to the board as a board option if the board went forward with the formal hearing and issued an order of revocation. So on behalf of the state, this is a very serious case. It involves very, very serious allegations, and I believe that this is in the interest of justice to protect the people of the state of Arizona. Thank you.
Can I ask, would the state be amenable to modifications to the board order?
No, I would not. I mean, I would listen to them, but that would be, the board could reject it, and then we could go forward to a formal hearing, I believe, or I could try to negotiate additional stipulations or terms of it.
Can I make that the recommendations to you, at least?
Yes.
The first is that, if I'm reading this correctly, the statement is that we are conducting a hearing to remove compact privileges.
That was corrected.
Yes, that was corrected.
That was all corrected.
That was actually, it was never even issued. Unfortunately, I think the board received that information.
But it's been replaced in your drive. So if you downloaded an old series and not after, so I would encourage the board to download the final into their computers when we tell you it's final a week before the meeting.
I have one from January 22nd. Is that not the final?
Yeah, well, it's been correct.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Okay, so that resolves your question?
Yes.
I have a question, Ms. Baskin.
Yes, Ms. Hunter.
I have concern this gentleman, even if he voluntarily surrenders his license, which is proposed, he still has the ability to direct his clinics. He's in charge of his clinics. Whereas, we don't have any jurisdiction over him. Is there any language that can be put into this stating that he will not have any jurisdiction over him in his clinic or be involved with his clinics?
I don't see that as a disciplinary option that the board has. I mean, that would be something that I believe
otherwise
that
he can just continue to do what he did, and we have no jurisdiction over him.
I don't think he can be practicing. If he is continuing to practice as a physical therapist when his license has been, when he no longer has a license, then that would be a criminal matter. And in fact, that is a focus of the governor's executive order 2020-02, where the focus is on unlicensed activity. Additionally, if the board is concerned regarding this, this can be the board would have options to make referrals to other agencies that would have jurisdiction.
Because as it was, he was allowing physical therapists come in from Mexico that are unlicensed and allowing them to treat, which he could still do.
I don't know that, but I would not dispute that. I cannot predict any type of illegal or nefarious or criminal activity that people will engage in. I understand that is a concern, Ms. Hunter.
I'm not sure. Maybe we'll have a formal hearing. I'm not sure if we can make a stipulation sign the note saying for the billing. Okay.
It's just a concern of mine, that's all.
I do understand that. I just don't know that we have the ability to take that away from him.
Just a quick question for the state. Curious why there wasn't a civil penalty included?
The state's position as far as getting a civil penalty, if I had moved forward with revocation at a formal hearing, that was definitely would be something that was that would be considered and would be recommended. In this case, it was negotiated that he would not have he would not be able to reapply for 5 years, and the importance and the power of that in a consent order where there's no rights of appeal. That was the state's position. Certainly the decision to accept or reject this is within the board's parameters. But it was decided, it was negotiated to forego that in light of the 5 years.
I'll make a motion. To accept the state's, were the staff's board order?
The consent order.
The state's suggestion for the board order?
The consent order.
The consent order.
Yeah. Second.
Okay, any discussion on the motion to accept the order?
It's been moved and seconded to accept a consent order for voluntary surrender for Carl Monquist, case number 1916. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Can I just add to the motion and to vacate the administrative hearing?
And to vacate, yes. Is that a friendly amendment?
Yes. If you don't.
Yes.
And then the second, is that okay?
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And then also, I believe you could ask Mr. Harris if the motion should include that he shall not be eligible for relicensure for 5 years from the effective date of the order.
And that's part of the approval of the consent agreement. That's a term set forth in the consent agreement.
Yes, it is, Mr. Harris. Thank you.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We may proceed with the vote.
All
okay.
Right. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yeah.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
It's been accepted to accept the voluntary surrender.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mona. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Do you want to take a short break or continue on?
Let's do one more, and then we can take a break, because item 4C3, Jacqueline Clemon.
Thank you.
She's been waiting quite a while, and let's handle that one.
The record show that Ms. Baskins returns to the table at 1:41 p.m.
Okay, and just remind everybody, this is an initial review, okay? Ms. Clinton, do you have anything you'd like to, like a statement you'd like to make or anything like that?
So my name is Jacqueline Clayman, I'm PT. The reason for this action started with supervising a PTA. So I just wanted to speak on behalf of that. So I was called here today due to an unfortunate situation in which a PTA working under my supervision was accused of falsifying documentation of a visit that the patient reported she did not complete. I've outlined a breakdown of the patient in question, and I don't know if you all have that or not.
Did you provide it in your response?
Yes.
Then they have it.
Okay. So I broke down kind of visit by visit. While that patient had a rocky start, as fairly typical for somebody right after back surgery with heightened pain and medication timing having a large impact on their abilities in that session. After the initial eval, as usual, I report to the PTA assessment and plan before she takes over the next visit. The PTA in question was used to more of a outpatient setting, new to home health, heavy exercise-based sessions, and when this patient initially was more of spinal precautions, pain management, kind of dialing it back a little bit, it was different than what she was used to. Patient did have some issues in initial visits with the PTA, such as nausea and anxiety. But the benefit of being in home health and having a team is my nurse and I worked very closely. And the nurse followed up with those visits and assured that those things were handled in her sessions. After the nurse did reach out to me to say that she didn't feel the patient was getting much in her therapy sessions, I reached out to my office to take the next two visits. So that I could monitor. She handled those visits really well, improved all outcomes tests. I questioned her satisfaction with the PTA at that time. She had no issues. So I sent the PTA back in which this event occurred. Upon my last visit, the patient was ready for outpatient, which followed right after that. Happy with all care apart from that visit. As a PT, it's my job to know what's going on with the patient as well as the PTAs with whom I work. I always strive to be diligent with my communication and treatment and regular review of the records. Because of that, my office has recognized me as a leader and pushed for me to be a clinical preceptor to train future staff. So regardless of what happens today, I intend to use this as a learning experience and push myself to become an even better therapist. But I've learned a lot in sitting here today.
And you've been very patient, so I appreciate that. And does any of the board members have a question?
Did the PTA ever speak to you saying she was uncomfortable with the patient, she would perhaps wasn't qualified or thought best that it wasn't right for her to treat this patient?
No, she did, say, I'm not sure, where I'm supposed to go right here. And that's when I said, you know, the spinal precautions, talking about her back brace, talking about pain management and going, it's just a different route than what you're used to, but it's still therapy.
Right.
And so we had went there and it appeared that things were going well. But even when I spoke with the patient, she said, Sarah's been fine, but it's been me. I haven't been able to participate in her sessions as well as I'd like to. In the other visits with the OTs, with the nurses, she was still performing her visits. And it just seemed that she was having unfortunate timing with them.
So when you made the visit to the patient mm-hmm. those 2 days, was that with PTA?
No.
I just noticed from before when we had this, and it's written in here now, that the gentleman, the OT, Mr. Spirit, the mm-hmm. OT, didn't feel comfortable transferring the care to a CODA. And I was wondering if he ever discussed anything like that with you as far as assistant personnel.
Not at all, which surprises me. I'm not sure at that time. We didn't really have a CODA that was covering that part of town.
That was
part of it. Our only CODA was probably about 50 minutes to an hour from that location, so there was nothing specific there.
Anyone else have any questions?
I was very impressed by your response.
Thank you. And type A personality, I don't like it looming.
No, you're in
an audition. So I moved to dismiss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss complaint 1928. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes. Cases
continue. Thank you very much again for staying so long and being patient.
Thank you.
All right. Let's handle the rest of the initial reviews. Case number 19-42, Gregory Bustamante, physical therapist assistant. And I don't have any slips of any of them being present or aren't going to be able to ask questions of them. So, is his certificate still inactive?
He reinstated, I believe. He's reinstated. He has an active certificate.
And so he's completed whatever. Well, he doesn't need to continue until the end of the year.
That's correct.
Okay. So he purposely lied on his application in 2014.
Yeah.
And 16.
Yes.
He didn't disclose in 14 and 16.
But he did on his reinstatement.
But he did on his reinstatement in 19.
I do acknowledge that he did not disclose the charges twice.
Wait, can we get a second?
Oops, I'm sorry. Wait.
Oh, unless that's not a motion.
No.
I'm sorry.
Just open discussion. I guess I applaud that he disclosed it at all and would like to positively reinforce that with maybe a letter.
Advisory letter.
Thank you. Just reminding him of that duty.
I believe we can, Mona, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we can order non-disciplinary continuing education at this point, right?
Yes, I believe you can. Yes, that's correct.
I would be more inclined to give him 6 hours in ethics.
Non-disciplinary?
Non-disciplinary, 6 hours in ethics, because it is significant. We rely on the licensee, to be honest.
I mean, not opposed to it. I mean,
when you read obtaining or attempting to obtain the license or certificate by fraud or misrepresentation, that's pretty serious.
Well, I think it's fair, but yes.
Yeah.
Well, regardless.
I think, yeah, I like the idea.
Yeah, well,
okay.
The issue I have is would we see this.
Not yet.
We see cases where people fail to report and then self-report at some period of time afterwards, and we never, you know, not never, we usually impose some type of discipline on that, and I don't see any that, you know, here he was, not once, but twice, failed to report it, and then he, you know, we're going to let him not get any discipline out of it. I don't think it's the same. We see it with DUIs, we see it with other things. We're not, you know, the people who do self-report at the next renewal and not lie, we treat more harshly than someone who lied to us twice and failed.
We're still in discussion, I think. Do you think, actually this is maybe a staff question, is the jurisprudence exam, if you were to take that again, is that considered?
Yeah.
That's discipline.
That would
be discipline.
Okay.
That could be offered in a consent agreement, though.
Thank you for clarifying.
So once we
Right.
Correct.
You could offer him a consent agreement for probation to include whatever terms you, if you felt that, to retake the AZ law, or I've heard discussion regarding an ethics course completed within a certain period of time. If he does not accept that consent agreement, then it would move to an informal proceeding.
But that's discipline.
Correct.
I thought you were advocating for non-disciplinary education.
I was.
And we would include the finding, I mean, if indeed you go in this direction, it would be to include the findings regarding the two non-disclosures and subsequent disclosure.
Does everybody understand where we're at?
Yes,
from what I can tell is that we're moving, but we don't have a motion.
You have no
right.
motion.
I would make a motion to offer the licensee a certificate holder, a consent agreement where he retakes the jurisprudence exam and completes 6 hours of ethics, and if he does not agree to come to a hearing.
What period of time?
Probation.
A year.
Okay.
Second.
Is that, I'm sorry, I didn't hear formal or informal?
Informal.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded to offer a consenting agreement for the AZ Law, 6 hours of ethics to be completed over the course of 12 months. If he does not sign, it will move to an informal hearing.
And again, is the 6 hours that's in person?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. To be clear on the motion?
Generally, they're in person unless we say otherwise.
Right. Right.
The policy is in person.
Yeah.
Right.
It's always good to specify.
Right, or maybe we could just say make the motion for the CE, you know, in accordance to the board's policy, because it is in person. But then again, this is a PTA that it would have to be in addition to what their CE requirements are going to be. So maybe that could be included in the motion.
So included.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Yes.
Okay.
You do?
Yes, me.
So all right, any further discussion on the motion?
Yes, I would not be in favor of this motion because on a lot of instances, the only thing we have is the disclosure of people. We would not know about this had he not at some point disclosed. So I'm not sure that we're incentivizing honesty with a disciplinary action moving forward in the future. So I would be more in favor of non-disciplinary action, a letter, and an ethics class.
Well, no correction on that. Department of Public Safety sends us reports.
Yeah, but he's already licensed and
he's not required
to get a fingerprint card.
Well, no, even if they're licensed, if you get arrested, we get a report. It's not just an initial. It wasn't just an initial process.
Really?
No, it's called, it's a loop around process where whenever they get arrested, we get a report from the DPS.
Even on
even if they have not been fingerprinted.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if it's on something that is older.
Yeah, even and they'll tell you the year on it too.
And what I'm just curious, I did not know that. What triggers it? Like,
how do they know they're
licensed
know?
With us?
Yeah, how do they
well,
know?
Well, if these are people, we have licensees that we get reports on.
Yeah, but that's the National Data Bank, which is different.
No, I'm talking about we get a fingerprint.
Right, but those are people who have been previously fingerprinted and have a clearance card.
What happens if
oh, I'm sorry, I thought he had a fingerprint.
He does not.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay, so it's possible.
Right. In 2012, and he's been licensed since 2007, a fingerprint card was not required and has not been required from him since. So the only way we would have been notified is if he had a clearance card, which he clearly does not, and then it would have been automatically reported to us.
And with regard to your comments, I believe we are encouraging honesty. We're encouraging the initial honesty. We're not taking the license. But had he disclosed it in 2014, he would have been renewed. And so that's the honesty we're encouraging.
Any other discussion, motion? Are you ready to take a vote?
The vote is for a consent agreement for the AZ Law, 6 hours of ethics to be completed in 1 year. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay.
I assume you're going to get some instruction here.
I move that we instruct staff to inform Ms. Brown that she needs to work with the compact to withdraw her privilege. And if she fails to do so, we invite her to a formal hearing.
Okay.
Second.
So you're going to further investigate and then provide instruction to Ms. Brown to seek voluntary surrender.
Yes.
Looking at the, looking at the timeline, it appears that, she did this after the site was changed to be more clear.
That's correct.
At some point, we need to say it's it's clear enough, you know, and we need to deal with that. So, I mean, I'm okay with early on where the web was just a little bit funny. But I haven't seen it complete, but I was told that they were going to make all sorts of changes.
The changes that Mr. Cantwell had told you had been made at the time he was telling you that they were made.
Okay. So I guess I guess I'm okay at this point because we're still early on in this, you know, compact thing. But I think eventually, I mean, if we keep getting these, we're gonna have to take a different tack because it's just kind of crazy that they could still say that they've done something that they haven't done. But so.
Well, now's as good a time as any.
Mm-hmm. In light of this advice, I withdraw my second.
Well,
can
she
say?
Do that? Or do they have to vote it up again?
Pardon me, we have the motion maker was Mr. Greer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Ms. Hunter was the second.
Correct.
And you, after discussion, you are withdrawing your second.
Yes. Can that?
Would it be cleaner just to vote on it?
Either way. I mean, she withdrew her second, so the motion would not be viable. But
okay, so let's assume that she just withdrew it. So we're back to square one. another option would be to move this to an informal, and so that she asks that she come, and so we can get more information about why she clicked what she clicked.
She may be
that be helpful.
She may be out of state.
No, that's true.
She is out of state.
She told us it was a state. That's what she's going to say.
Yeah.
All the other ones we formally informal here.
Yeah.
But
we either forward it to a formal hearing and then revoke it, or we do what Mr. Greer suggested, instruct staff to talk to them about voluntary surrender, and if not, take it to a formal hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I agree at some point, enough's enough, but when do you want to say that? How long has Arizona been part of accepting county PAC?
That will be a year, April 1st.
I feel that if TJ starts to get enough of these things coming out of Arizona, he is going to have to come up with a different way on the website to make council or help.
I will say,
Arizona.
And I know you've read the letters, there is no consequence to the compact person other than they no longer have an Arizona. And it does not stop them from turning around and doing it again. So there's no consequence. They don't lose anything. There's no. So I don't think you're going to see a push by the compact to do anything. They are doing what the state has asked them to do, and they see that as what you want them to do. So I will tell you that there is no change anticipated in the instruction or in the obtaining of the compact privilege.
But it would be nice for them to have to upload their scores.
They will. That will not happen. We have suggested it, and it will not happen.
In the future, you know, I would hope that the staff, instead of opening up a complaint, is giving them this advice: hey, you need to withdraw this before we open up a complaint.
That's not
my role. My role isn't to make a decision for the board on what they would like to do, hence why you get an initial complaint and you can tell me and staff and direct us on how you would like this complaint on this person to proceed.
But this one was opened before we decided the other ones.
This one was opened before you dismissed cases today. Otherwise, you were in the middle of a proceeding up to today.
I understand the argument is, you know, if you're going to take a stand, why not today? But I guess I'm looking for a little bit of time to think and discuss this further before we just start moving everything and making it a disciplinary action. So as far as this case today, I'm okay with instructing her to get a voluntary withdrawal of her waiver.
I don't think
at some point it's gonna come back to me and says, you know what, and the trouble is we're gonna have to make an example of somebody. And no matter who we pick, it's gonna hurt them.
Well, I'll just speak, okay. And then I don't think removing a privilege is discipline, though, right?
Right.
No, but if we withdraw it, yes, it is. If they withdraw it, no, it's not.
All right, Mr. President, members of the board. Upon you may wish to go into executive session to receive legal advice,
Can you speak up, please?
Discuss. You may wish to go into executive session to receive legal advice, or I could just speak freely. When we take a look at the website and what these applicants go through, there's some terminology in there that says they have completed the jurisprudence. It doesn't really say successfully completed or passed. So you may want to revisit that language and maybe have further dialogue with Mr. Cantwell regarding clarification of that on the website.
In this particular case, though, she has not taken the exam.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like she didn't know the outcome and got her contact.
But from that, and she's a little older than some of the other applicants, not that that's an excuse she could be able to use. She is. She's like 31.
The point you're making, exactly?
I'm just saying, a lot of these people that we've been dealing with, they're brand new. They're doing something because their employer is telling them to do it. Arizona is somewhat unique in that we require passage.
No, there are many states that require passage.
But there are also many states that don't require passage.
But it says that in red.
I know I know. But, you know, the consequences are quite severe to the licensee. And we've heard at least one come in and say, hey, I realized the mistake as soon as I did it. I tried to fix it. And we had her here for a formal hearing. I think before we do that, give them a chance to fix it. And I think we continue to do that forever. Give them a chance to fix it. If they don't want to fix it, I have no problem taking it in privilege. But hey, you made a mistake, fix it.
Well, the difference is that you're saying giving an individual repeated attempt, you know, chances to change it. And I'm looking at going, we have to deal with so many of these, period. We ought to, but I don't know. I guess if we took away their privilege and made it a discipline, I'm not sure that would necessarily prevent anybody else, the next person, from doing it either.
And the question is, how much visibility, let's say we take away her privilege, how much visibility does that have through the PT world? I mean, will anyone outside of this room right now know about it?
Well, the compact will
know about it. The compact will, and anyone who runs the information on the national database will.
Correct.
But how can any other PT or PTA know about this?
Well, we do publish a newsletter that identifies people who have been disciplined and why.
Okay. If you're not licensed in the state,
yep, you're not going to get that newsletter, but she won't have a compact privilege. Anyway.
Right.
I imagine, you know, item F on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible opening of complaint. I imagine that's how these get to us,
is, comes on the board's agenda, should we open up a complaint?
I have not memoed them because it has been a violation of the compact. If that's the direction of the board and you would like these to come to you as a memo, we can do that. But a memo is usually when there is a uncertainty as to whether a violation has actually occurred. There is no uncertainty that they have not taken the exam that was required prior to having a privileged practice in Arizona, so a complaint has always been opened initially.
Okay.